let's get started. So the wonderful straight after lunch session when we're all nice and full and ready for a little afternoon siesta, a little nap. Welcome along to the Zen of Package Management. My name's Anthony Boughton. I'll be, that's awfully big up the front. I'll be presenting this topic for you. I'm a VSTS, TFS, DevOps, trainery, consultant guy. The benefit of being self-employed is you can give yourself really any title. But that's largely what I do. And I divide my time equally between here in the US delivering DevOps training on the Microsoft stack. So that's basically what I do. I've been a Visual Studio and development tools development. It's so much easier. It was a VSTS MVP back in the days when it was pre-VSTS. Then it was an ALM MVP. And now it's too many words. But that's 11 years for me. I've been a Microsoft Certified Professional since 93. That goes back to exam 001. Who's done some exams? Microsoft exams. Fantastic. Leave your hands up if you've done more than five. 10? Oh, you guys give in really early. So as a sign of someone that's really got to get a better life, that was 60 exams ago. I think there's a couple of new DevOps ones due this half of the year, so maybe we'll increase that account just a little bit more. I've also been a trainer for a little over two decades, so that's a little bit about me. So what I'm going to talk to you about in this session is, as the name implies, we're going to look at package management. And I'll start by talking about this little subtle nuance. Package management, when you see a capital P and a capital M, is used to refer to the Microsoft product that I'm going to be demonstrating and showing you, as opposed to, you know, the lowercase usage, which is just the generic discipline of package management. And it's also not a particularly sexy topic, but that's all right. We're also going to have a look at some other features along the way. We're going to have a look at CI/CD pipelines, have a look at some recent innovations and changes that Microsoft have made to that space. So it's not just package management, but a few extra things thrown in there for good measure. Has anyone started using Microsoft's package management product yet? A couple of hands and maybe a nod. Okay, so not a lot of people. So I just want to start with a little bit of background around package management, talk a little bit about feeds. These aren't new things. We've been using NuGet repositories, MPN. We've been using all this sort of stuff for a long, long time. So, you know, let's not lose sight of that fact. The new thing, I suppose, that I'm here to talk to you about is the package management offering that they've just made available. So let's start with success comes pain. And this is really just that little getting started. Our small team starts to grow. We might work for a little startup, let's say. We start developing it and life is good. And we're successful, even better. And then our small team becomes a bigger team. And soon it morphs into several teams. Well, this is all positive. You know, we get more skills, more knowledge into the organization, into the team. It helps us with our continuous learning. Our code base grows. And pretty soon now we're maintaining and editing code that we had nothing to do with writing. That gets a little bit more challenging. And of course, you look at that code going, who wrote that? And you go and have a look at the change set and it was you. That usually happens. It's short-term memory, 3 months, I would have thought. And you think, geez, who wrote that ugly code? That's even worse when it's yours. But it happens. I don't actually write much code anymore. I guess I'm more in the ALM space and so on. So as someone looking at a coding topic this afternoon, I'm sure that'll be entertaining for us. Luckily, I've got a room full of coding experts that can fix my typos for me. So that's a bonus. As we start getting multiple teams, we soon see that those teams start treading on each other, making changes, maybe not following best practice there. And soon enough, they make a change to one of their assemblies we're relying on, and they don't communicate that to us, or they don't change it in a particularly, you know, friendly, by-the-book way. So we need to look into componentization. And there are several different ways we can do this. We need a way that our teams can effectively share those reusable components. Again, not a new problem for us. With package componentization, the one that we're really most interested in this topic, we basically look at one team creating a package, going and creating those assemblies for us, and other teams consuming it, so that's a given. looking at that graphically in terms of summarising the problem, you'll see there that Team A goes and creates something. They might create a class that does some searching for us, some special searching across our corporate or organisational data. Team B needs something similar, so they go and write their own, a little bit different. And then, of course, Team C goes and writes one as well, a little bit different. And suddenly we're incurring, as an organisation, a lot of technical debt. Okay, so that problem has been with us for a long while. Okay, who's... No, you guys wouldn't put your hands up anyway. Who acknowledges that maybe that's happening today for them still? That's... Yeah, that's true. All right. So what we want to try and do is move forward into an environment. And this environment's not, you know, it's not rocket science per se, but change is hard. We want to make it so that maybe Team A goes and creates that search component for us. They get the requirements, they change it, they troubleshoot it, and then Team B can simply consume it. It's already there. It's not just the idea of package and consumption. We've got to be able to go and find these classes, learn about them to encourage that reusability. And then potentially those other teams can go and improve that class, make that search a lot more efficient for us. So that sounds like a big win. So I'd like to introduce you to Microsoft Package Management. Okay? It's not a complete story. I'm not here to tell you that it's 1,000 times better than any other competing product, not for a moment. It is new and it's showing a lot of promise. Package Management is an extension that makes it easy to discover, install, and publish our packages. Okay? The thing that really, in my opinion, sets it apart from a lot of other package managers is that deep integration into both TFS and VSTS. Okay? So if you're already using VSTS, actually, out of curiosity, it's always good to get a show of hands on these things. So TFS users... Great. VSTS users? Neither? Okay. Awesome. So there's good and bad news there. So in TFS 2015, package management wasn't available. So package management is rolled into the 2017 release. Now I'm really curious. 2017 TFS? Okay, a couple of hands. Awesome. The rest of you planning to do it as soon as possible? Yeah. Okay. So, in 2017, it's built in for us, and in VSTS in the cloud, it's something that our account owner can go and add. They're going to head over to the marketplace, they'll search for package management, and then they're going to add that into the subscription. Now, it is a paid extension, so you can do a trial, a 30-day trial, and see if it's, you know, what you're looking for. They also provide access to that free for up to 5 users. So if you're a very small team taking advantage of VSTS, and by very small, I'm talking 5 or less, then this is completely free and available to you. Okay? And then the price, it's like most pricing models, it gets cheaper the more users and seats. Okay? So one of the nice things about it, when package management was first released as an extension in VSTS, it simply supported NuGet, and it provided support for some of the latest innovations in the NuGet space, so NuGet-compatible feeds. That's probably, I'm guessing, the one that most of you would be most familiar with. With very recent updates to this, they've increased that now to also support NPM, and they're currently working on support for Maven. In fact, they've got a user voice site where they encourage the community to go there and actually upvote the types of packages you'd like it to support, with a, you know, grandiose vision that package management should be able to support all forms of reusable artifacts for us, offering that ability to, you know, publish, to be able to consume and search those things easily, to be able to manage those things. So, you know, it's a big promise. Okay? I think it's really just the prioritisation. So where's the demand and what will they support next? In terms of recent improvements around, actually I shouldn't really say it's too recent, but I thought these may have been around NuGet 3-ish timeframe. Anyone can correct me there. So some of the recent improvements in NuGet since they brought the product to market, they now support both undelete and, sorry, undelete, unlist and delete package. These are interesting things in that with that tight integration to VSTS and TFS, we've got the ability to manage the entire life cycle of these packages. And sometimes that means we want to go and easily unlist these things or delist them. We also want to be able to go in there and delete these packages. Something you want to do with due caution and care, as a private repository, something in your account, something on your server, you've got full control of the security of our feeds. So we can, you know, hopefully keep the delete access to those people that understand the ramifications of deleting. In a public repository, I guess deleting's really, really, really frowned upon. That's something you'd want to steer well clear of. We also have just another little button there, and that's the download button. So if we want to go in and simply download that package, we can do it from a browser. Jump in there, find it, download. That's nice, quick and easy. Pretty much everything you see in package management is fully supported by some, you know, comprehensive REST APIs behind the scenes, including those features there and many others. So if you want to write scripts or integration code yourselves, if you want to integrate with package management, then there's, you know, quite a lot of capability available to you out of the box. Starting with just a very short, brief demonstration, how do we go about adding this into our account? So first and foremost, TFS 2017, do nothing. Okay, you've already got it. That's a positive. If I switch back over to this other machine, so I'm currently in my VSTS account. I'm going to take us for a quick little visit. Mousy had a little rest. There we are. I'm going to go and visit Marketplace. All right. I'm getting, you guys are doing this post-lunch exercise. Who's been to the Marketplace? Okay, a few hands. So we've got to increase that number. Microsoft have had a couple of different marketplaces out there. Some of them have had more success than others. This one's, in my opinion, showing a lot more promise than some of their early collaboration spaces. There can be many reasons for that, including, I think, as a society, we're far more used to the idea of, you know, picking up our devices, our app stores, going and finding things. We're used to those things being updated frequently. So I think, you know, as a society, we're far more attuned to going and using marketplaces to find things. What's really compelling about this one, I'll go ahead and select, oops, I've already been there, Visual Studio Team Services up the top. As I scroll down there, these are all sorts of add-ins and additions that will work with both TFS and VSTS, usually, unless there's some technical reason. Often with Microsoft's increased release cadence in pushing things up to the cloud, sometimes these extensions will arrive and the underlying support in the product isn't in TFS yet. So, you know, just keep an eye on that. If you see something that is available for download, that means TFS. If it says install, then that's VSTS. And in a perfect world, you're going to see both. So for all of the missing pieces, what's useful in the marketplace? A common example I'll give you is release management. Could any of you imagine a situation where as we release our app from development to test, staging and production, could you ever imagine wanting to go into a config file and finding a particular token and replacing it? Yeah, of course you could. That should be release management 101 kind of work. That wasn't available in release management out of the box. But the marketplace, within a couple of weeks, had 6 or 7 of these, you know, token replacement components. And they're actually not that hard to create yourselves, and you could even do it with a bit of PowerShell. So, I mean, there's plenty of choices there. But if you want build and release to do something, and there is not a built-in task for that, make sure you pop over to the marketplace and have a look there. And it's not exclusively, you know, Microsoft up here. What you'll see, one of the very first ones there is a, you know, local company up there with your Octopus Deploy integration. A little plug for the Octopus guys there. If I talk release management, it's fair to include them in that conversation. So they were one of the very first extensions to appear inside the marketplace, and there's a bunch of others in there as well. All right, so well worth a little look. So I'm going to go in there and say that I'm looking for package management. And the first one we should see there is exactly that. You'll see we've got the ability to install that as a free trial. So start the trial over the side there. A little reminder that it's free for up to 5 users. And if we simply go and install that, buy it or start the trial, then that's going to appear in our account. Okay? Already there for me, so I get to skip that little step for us. So that's our first just little brief getting started. So the concept of feeds shouldn't be new to us either. So feeds provide a way for us to logically organize our packages, to allow them to be consumed, allow them to be found easily by our users. So feeds aren't particularly new there. Feeds allow us to secure access for our readers, our contributors, and our owners. And feeds provide that connection point for our for the people wanting to consume our feeds. Creating a feed is a very straightforward process. You'll see up there I've gone into the web UI, and I'll show you this as a demonstration. I've said I want to create a new feed. Up the top there in the dialogue, what's the name of the feed? We provide a name, optionally a description. The description's always a convenience, a nicety for the audience that want to go and find out what this is about. Down the bottom, who can read this information? So I've got some choices there. Only our team members within this team project, everyone in the account can read them. So your choice. I can go in there and say who can contribute. And there's two choices. I can leave it the way that it is. I can say that others in my particular team can publish. This one here is the project collection build service. So we want to add that one in because the best way to get our packages into a feed repository is by using a standard CI/CD pipeline that we'd be using for our applications anyway. Last one down the bottom, the upstream sources, we'll talk about a little bit later. So, security, who likes to talk about that, apart from Troy? All right, so when we talk about the security of our feeds, they're managed the same way we're probably already managing security in TFS or VSTS today. We have these existing options there, reader, contributor, and owner. So a reader can go and consume these things. A contributor, logically, can also push and unlist packages. That makes sense if they're putting them there. And finally, the owner can delete those packages, edit feed permissions, rename, and delete the feed. So I can go in there easily and use existing teams, TFS groups, VSTS groups, whether they're backed by Active Directory or Azure Active Directory. I can easily go and edit those after the event. So let's create our first feed. So back over into VSTS, I'm going to go into this particular team project, nothing special about it. I'll go up to build and release, and you'll see here I've got the packages tab visible to me. For those of you that are using VSTS, of course you've had this navigation for a little while. If you're a TFS 2015 user, you'll recognise, well maybe not recognise, that the screen's a little different. So this is the new navigation experience. It is a much better experience. It takes a few minutes just to get used to, I suppose, like any change, but I think you'll be happy. So I go to my packages there, and I say that I want to create a new feed. I'll call this ALM training. I should really spell that the right way. A feed with all of the packages for our courses. I'll say that anyone can view those packages. I'll say that anyone on the team can also go and contribute to those. Upstream sources we'll save for a little bit later. I'll say create. And just like that, I've managed to go and create the feed. I'll go up here and choose edit to edit the feed. Click permissions. And I can say that in addition to myself and these other groups, I want to go and allow Shane to be an owner. Okay, I'll save you going and creating a group and putting a group in there. Its strength is in the consistency that it offers with security in other parts of TFS and VSTS. Okay, so I've managed to go ahead and create that feed. So now I've got to go and populate it. Okay. So we want to go and publish. Fortunately, you'll see that VSTS and TFS have provided a number of build steps well suited to this. These predated package management. You can use them with the public NuGet repository today. Okay? And you've been able to for a little while since, well, Well, they were pretty soon after the release of the new version of Build. So you'll see we've got NuGet Installer. That's pretty much in all of the project templates you're likely to use. That finds the NuGet packages that we consume, make sure we've got those in Visual Studio and, of course, in Team Build as well. We've got the NuGet Packager for going and packaging the components that we want to share, and then finally NuGet Publisher to go and publish these out to the desired repository. All right, let's have a look at that. So we're going to create a CI/CD feed, a CI/CD pipeline for getting our components out to the feed you saw me create. Now remember, in addition to the feed concept that we're looking at, there might be some interesting things around build and release that perhaps you haven't seen as much of. So what I want to do is I want to go and create a new build. So I'll switch over to the Build tab. Okay. I'll say I want to create a new build, and you'll see that I've turned on the new build editor experience. I'll say create a new build for me. And now I've got a number of different templates there that I can choose from. I'll go ahead with just the standard Visual Studio template, and I'll apply that. So I'll choose Visual Studio and apply. Is anyone using the new build editor experience yet? Okay. What do you think? Better? Worse? Indifferent? you do like it better?
Yeah.
Like most things, I think they're getting their usability right. How long did it take you to get used to? 5 minutes? If that. Okay. So like most changes, it's a little bit different, but I suppose as an educator teaching people all the time, it's great to see when they make these sort of usability changes and suddenly people start just to get it much more quickly. Much more. Maybe not, 5 minutes isn't a big saving at all, but when you're starting from scratch, I think it's a lot more intuitive. I'm going to give this a name, and my particular components, a simple maths library. So this is going to be my maths CI build. I'll go down here and choose the particular solution I want to build. That'll be my component, PM demo, maths lib. And actually, the solution is what I want. Okay. And you'll see there that it's got this new concept of linked variables. I've also got my build assemblies there. Okay, so that looks good to start. I will make one little change here with the hosted pool and another little setting. I'm going to go into the build step, and I'm going to choose to target 2015 in the hosted agent. Okay, that's more plumbing than anything. If you look down the left-hand side here, you'll also see a test step with a little flag on it. Okay, so those flags arrived in a recent release. And that flag tells me that there may be a newer version. Well, not maybe, there is a newer version available. If I select that particular build step, you'll see that our build steps are now versioned. We can see that I'm currently using major version 1, so I'll automatically get any minor updates that are made to it, but I will always have to manually choose if I want to go to a more recent major. You'll see here that version 2 is in preview, and well, it's a demo. What would a demo be without a bit of fun and interest? So I'll go ahead and take the preview version. Okay. Truth in advertising, it's actually pretty reliable. So we'll go ahead with making that little change. Now, I want to go and set the assembly number for a good, consistent experience. I think they can do better here. They are working on some improvements to the numbering system. I'm using a few different third-party ones out there. So I'll go down here and say I want to add a new task. I'll type in version. And this is one that Colin's created. So Colin's now with Northwest Cadence up in Seattle. I'll choose to add that one in. I'll pop it up here. And there's nothing particularly special about this one. There's quite a few different options out there to go and standardise and increment your assembly versioning. Okay, I'll go and choose my source path. Okay, so I'll go ahead and choose the component. Okay, that works for me. All right, across the top to our options. I'm going to change the build number format. In the build number format, I'm just going to use that little string there. Okay, mathslib, and then I'm going to use a variable. So you should be able to see there that I'm using build number as a variable and then simply incrementing the final digit based on the revision of this particular build. I could have hard-coded that value in, of course, and then just incremented the number myself, but using a variable there probably makes more sense to me. I'll go and add that variable and call it build num. And this is the second major version of this wonderful basic assembly, so I'll tell it to start with 2 zeros. And I want to make it so that when a developer chooses to trigger a build, you know, assuming it isn't CI, they have the opportunity in that queue build dialog box to go and change that value. So if they have had or made a major or minor change to the assembly, they can easily go and do that. Little check there means that's going to appear on the queue dialog box. Okay, isn't going to help us with CI builds though. Okay, so we've got a variable in place. All right, so apart from that, I'm going to leave most of those other steps unchanged. But the main goal here is to grab our assembly and set it up as a package. So another new step's required. So I'll go in here and say that we're looking for the NuGet packager. And I'll add that. Now, putting it way up the top there isn't the best place in a workflow, so we better move that down a little bit. Probably after we publish the symbols, but before we do any copying. So the NuGet package is going to take care of creating the NuGet package. I'll go in here and I can either point to the NuSpec file or to the CSproj file. I'll go and find my CSproj file, but I could just as easily point to the NuSpec file. The NuSpec file gives us more flexibility, more options there for some changes that we might want to make in this particular package. For the package folder, and remember there's many different ways to do this, for convenience, I'm going to say when you create the package, go and drop it into a subfolder called packaged. The only reason I'm doing that is in the very next step when I do my copy to create the build artifact, I can simply say grab anything from inside that directory and that's all I want. So it's just a convenience to ensure that I'm not, you know, I don't have too much noise in the directories. All right, so I've got that ready to go. I'll head down to the copy files, and instead of that path there, as I said, my goal here is to say go into any nested directory called packaged and grab whatever's inside there for me. Okay, let's go ahead and save and queue that. And let's see how my build goes. Because I'm doing this manually, you'll see I've now got the opportunity to change that value, and I'll click queue. Now, using the hosted infrastructure, it's a variable as to how long that's going to take to build. So it's going to queue there for me. If I was a gambling man, I guess I'm going to guess around probably 75 seconds. But I'm not a good gambler, so we'll wait and see how that goes. All right, so just a quick recap while that build occurs. We've got a very, very simple package. A very, very simple component. In fact, it has just two simple methods in there to add numbers and multiply numbers, so we don't worry about any form of complexity there whatsoever. We want to go and build it. I want to run unit tests on it. Again, just, I think I've, in my simple example there, I've got three, so I think it should be pretty good to pass those tests. And now I'm creating a CI pipeline, although it's not really CI yet, is it? I just haven't specified the trigger. So it goes in here, does the build, runs the tests for me, gets to the NuGet packager build step, and that's going to go and create that new package file. Once it's done that, you're going to see the copy file step. We'll go into the package subfolder, grab whatever we need, and that's what it's going to put into the artifact. Okay, hopefully now it should be pretty close to the end there. There's the packaging. And we're done. It would be a bit of trouble if that didn't work. Okay? So, now, We'll go across to the results of that. We'll have a look at my tests there. Okay, as expected, my tests passed, which is reassuring. I'll go and have a look at the artifacts and choose to explore the artifact and see what the output of this particular build is. I'll open up the drop folder, open up component PM, and inside component PM is that package directory I told it to use with a single mathslib2001.nuget package. Okay, so that's the output for us. We now want to pick that up and publish it to the feed you saw me create earlier. I'll close that. Now, I did tell you it was supposed to be CI, so I better go back into the build definition and just quickly change that trigger. Won't take a moment. So back in here, we'll choose edit. Jump into my triggers. Say I want it to be continuous integration. And in this particular occasion, I'm happy for any change in that path to automatically trigger for me. I'll go up here and choose to save it. Remembering to put the comments in, very, very important. Updated trigger to be a CI build, and save that. Okay. That little subtle difference there, that little history with the comment in it. If you've had experience, I mean, you know, this has been around since 2005, so it's in no way new. But if you hark back to the days of XAML build, how many people are still doing XAML builds? Okay, that's awesome that there's not too many of us, of you guys left. All right, so XAML builds solved a few problems, but they really brought their own problems along, didn't they? So it's quite a breath of fresh air when you move across to the new build system up there. My point was going to be that we tracked the XAML workflow, the orchestration of the build, but we never tracked changes to the configuration values. So this little screen here is fantastic for seeing, you know, when people go in there and tweak values and change things, and suddenly things break. We can find out what they did and easily go and side-by-side compare the JSON files. All right, so we've got our build done. Now, we talked about a CI/CD pipeline. Let's switch across to release. Now, of course, my release is going to be very, very simple. In fact, my release will have, well, it needs just one step, and that's to go and publish. I'll put in two, just because I can. So let's create a new release definition. We haven't quite got the new editor format across onto release yet. I'll say that I want to create an empty definition. I'll choose my inputs for the release to be the output of a build in the current team project, and I'll say that it's this build here, the build you saw me create. It's supposed to be continuous deployment, so I could check that box, although we'll have a look at that ourselves later, and I'll say that I want it to use the hosted build agent. Okay, we'll create that release definition. I'm going to name that release, and I'm going to call that publish package to feed. Not very descriptive, really. You could argue that it is. So I'll work with that particular name. I'll name my first environment development, and the only task we really, really need here is going to be that NuGet publisher task now. So I didn't call out the NuGet installer. That was there as part of the component. But I did look at the NuGet packager, and we've used it. Now it's time to go across and have a look at the NuGet publisher. What I'd like there is a little search window at the top. Okay, NuGet publisher. We'll add that one in. So in the NuGet publisher, what do we want to do? Well, firstly, I'm going to be publishing a NuGet package, so that's a good default. I'm going to go down here, and instead of being an external feed, we're going to say use an internal feed. And I need a URL here, the endpoint for my feed. I'll open up another instance of the window, head across to my account. And let's go and grab the feed endpoint. Okay, so there's the feed you saw me create earlier today. I'll click on connect to feed, and there's the endpoint, nice and easy. I'll copy that, bring it back across to here, and I could just paste that in. But I guess after you've used build and release for a little while, you do soon find the value and benefit of using variables over typing too many things indirectly. Although I guess that said, your endpoint shouldn't change too often. So I'll say to go and use feed URL as a variable. I'll pop up to variables, feed URL, and I'll paste the endpoint in there. It's not likely that that endpoint will change, but it can. So to deal with releasing packages, there's ideas that we can go and create a CI or a pre-release feed and then have a production feed. Does anyone do that? Have different feeds? No? Okay. I've seen that used a little bit. The problem with that is the stratification of it. So you've really got a version of a package here, a version over there. You've suddenly not got that single point of truth for the package. Okay. When we look at release views coming up in just a minute, I'll talk more about that for you. For now, I'll go ahead and use that single feed URL. Okay. So that's probably enough to get our package working. If we have a look at the artifacts, you'll see there that I'm picking up the results of the build. Early releases of, well, I shouldn't say early releases of release management, but that's what it is. We can now go in there and choose different artifact sources. So I can go and choose from a variety of different locations, different projects, and different things, and bring all of those into my release pipeline. Okay, you haven't been able to do that for altogether too long with RM. I'll cancel out of there. We've looked at our variables there, and I did say this was going to be a continuous deployment. So I'll go ahead and say use continuous deployment. And I want to trigger my deployment whenever that particular artifact source changes. Okay, so that's not that new. But in VSTS, that little with tags appeared just recently. So now, in addition to saying that whenever a change in MathLib CI occurs, we could also go and say only if it happens to include this tag or these tags. So a little subtle difference there if you've seen it. So by setting continuous deployment, this is going to create the release for us. Down the bottom, you'll see I've only got one environment. That environment's called development. And by default now, it's automated. After we create the original release definition, it's automatically going to trigger and start pushing to the first environment. And then you'd have subsequent environments after that, whether you're choosing them to automatically push through to them. These are all choices for you, and that's a whole different talk on RM. All right, so I've set that. Internal feed was good. I'm just going to leave them with release 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't need to be more creative than that. I can specify a retention policy. I'll just accept the defaults there. Let's go ahead and save that. So that's just going to simply package it up. Initial release def for MathLib. And knowing that we're very, very social at Ignite, it's so hard, still think of it by the old name, at Ignite, we'll go ahead and add another task. And to be social, let's go and grab something I think Peter wrote. Really needs a search on this screen, I think. Or I need to remove some of the ones I'm not using. Okay, let's go and do a tweet every time we do a build or release. That's not going to be annoying to our followers. So I'll choose that one. I've already created a Twitter endpoint. Okay, so I can simply go in there and choose that. A reasonably trivial thing to do by setting up a Twitter API or Twitter app. And then the message we want to use, we should do something social. So we're releasing build.build number during the session title at TechEd. Did it again. You know, I'm just going to say tech it all afternoon now. Let's get rid of that. Okay. So as we get to there, we're going to go and tweet that we're releasing Maths 2.001 during this session at Ignite. Okay. Third time lucky. Okay. Let's go ahead and save that. Added a step to tweet. All right. So if my CI/CD pipeline is going to work for us, we'll go ahead into code. I'll go into the component and we'll make a trivial change. I'll go into the maths library. I told you it was an incredibly simple little component, so I don't know that it's going to get a lot of traction or usage out there. I'll choose to edit it and make a trivial change. Don't pick any faults in that code, please. I know that I can make mistakes even in small pieces of code. I'll go ahead and check that in. So in checking in that nonsensical change in this example, if everything's created equal, we should be able to go across to our builds. Okay, we should be able to see that that build has been queued. Down the bottom here, there it is, it's in progress. All right, so what that's going to do for us is it's triggering the build, it's going to go and build that package for me, create the artifact, it's going to then trigger the release automatically. In the release, it's going to go and publish that to the feed that you saw me create earlier. And then once we get that into the feed, I'll show you some of those other new features that were shown in there and introduce you to the release views. That's probably going to take a few moments. So in fact, how about while that happens in the background, and I know that's just diluted all the trust, but that is just going to happen in the background for better or worse. Let's move on. So once we've got that component sitting up in package management, we want to go ahead and consume it. Consuming, it's not a difficult thing for anyone that's a coder in the room. In Visual Studio, we'll go in there, there's plenty of ways to get there, right-click on the particular project or solution, go into NuGet Package Management. I can go and add my feed endpoint. Now, I probably suggest many of you have done that already, pointing to all sorts of other different package managers. I will show it to you. But there is something a little bit different down there that you may not realize. This little option here, View All Packages. So I can go in there and specify a particular view, and the view is nothing more than a filter that can be applied to this feed. Okay? This concept of views is going to appear in a few more areas in VSTS over the coming months. But for now, release views were the very first to get this. So in terms of versioning, we've had Semver. Semver 2 is now supported by NuGet, has been for a little while. Now, we need to be able to communicate information. So this is something that Microsoft have done. We'll wait and see how well it's accepted. So we're not, the idea of the nature of the change there, 1.2.3, that's okay. But how do we communicate the quality? One of the challenges that we have is we don't know what the quality of that package is going to be like until after it's built, after we've done our testing. So what we want to be able to do is to indicate the quality post-build. And that's where a lot of these numbering systems maybe struggle a little bit. So the concept of release views is that I can go in there and create a view. By default, there are two. There's pre-release and release. But I can have as many of those as I want to, although I think for most of us, two would be just fine. So when I go into create those views, I can build the package and then choose to promote it after it's been built and after I've tested it. The consumers of those feeds can then use one of these release views to say, only give me the released packages. Okay? So let's have a look at that. Now, hopefully, so our build succeeded. Okay, none of you are as surprised as I am. So our very, very simple build succeeded. We went and created the package, and then hopefully that should have then triggered a release. So we'll switch over to see if our release completed. Okay, the release looks good, so hopefully I've gone and tweeted yet again, much to the annoyance of anyone following me. I can go and have a look at that. I just clicked on the build then and went backwards. Get out of here. Okay. That's a better choice. Releases. Okay, so it's currently in that environment, and if I go across to my packages and refresh that screen, we should see MathsLib appearing here. Okay, so MathsLib 2002 is out there after the change that I made. And what I want to be able to do is now test that. Now, it's gone through the unit tests, any other forms of QA that I want, and I can choose then to promote it. Okay, I can promote that and say go to pre-release. So that's available for anyone consuming a pre-release view. Or in my example for time, I'm going to simply say this one's release ready. And effectively, that's just like putting a tag on it. You'll see the little release tag up there. Okay, doesn't change the numbering of the assembly or how it's actually named, but that's just this little piece of extra metadata associated with it. Now, if I go back up to connect to feed, you saw me go and copy that endpoint before. I'll say that I only want to see those items that have been promoted to release. Now when I copy that, it will automatically put that release view in place and only show me those particular package that have that attribute. Okay? So wait and see how that goes. I think it shows a lot of promise, and it's better than having the CI and the production feeds, in my opinion. Okay? It's only been there a little while. Has anyone seen it yet? Started using it? No, it is very, very new. Okay. I won't worry about going and updating the endpoint to show you that one, unless anyone really, really wants to see it. So I've now promoted that up to release. Let's go back across to my client now. So over in my client, I want to go and start consuming those feeds. And in fact, you know what? I can say, go and grab release. Copy that. Now when I go over to Visual Studio and go into my client, right-click, manage NuGet packages, I can go in here and say that I want to go and add a new package management feed or repository. I can go down and give it a name, and I'm going to call this one the ALM Training Release Feed, and then I'll just drop that endpoint in. So automatically, you see the release view specified just there. So I will only be able to see up here, release feed. So I'm only going to see one. I mean, I've only published one. You've seen me do that. Hopefully MathLib's going to appear here. There it is. Okay, so that one has been displayed through the filter for us, and I'm ready to go and install that in the application. Okay, we'll say OK there. And it works just like every other feed. It's a NuGet-compatible feed there with just a couple of little extras in there. Come on. And then with any luck, we'll consume that. And it's... You saw what the class looks like. It's not going to be a earth-shattering, bring-the-house-down application that allows us to add a couple of numbers together. Yeah, but it still should work. Come on. Ah, there we go. And we'll just add two random trivial numbers. And I didn't do that in time. Okay, we all knew exactly what that was about. So I'll exit out of there, but I did consume that correctly. I just have no error handling and didn't handle the empty text box that I typed in there. And you can see all the error handling code there. Okay, let's get back out of there. Okay, so I've gone and had a look at consuming. So the last topic I want to talk about with package management is the fact that this is not just for NuGet. We can also use NPM packages, so it's fully supported for that. So if you're an ASP.NET developer, Angular, React, Node.js, or any of those sorts of things, this will be of interest to you. Insofar as package management in a recent release, 2 months ago, I want to say, publicly included support for NPM. Okay. One of the interesting things about this is that the NPM client is designed to allow you to only specify one repository. Unlike Visual Studio, where you saw that I could go in there and point to NuGet and a dozen other repositories if I wanted to, the NPM client does not support that. So one of the nice things about package management is our ability to say, well, look, I want to use package management. I want to have my own in-house, in-organization NPM repository. I want to be able to call that repository. And if I've got some of my private packages there, I want to be able to consume them. But if the package isn't there, I simply route that to an upstream provider, and then I can consume those public packages. So it does give us, you know, the best of both worlds in consuming both public and private. So I think that's a very positive thing. Let's have a look at support for NPM. Okay. So I'm going to go and start by creating an NPM feed. Well, a feed's a feed. But what I'll do is say, into package, create a new feed. And we'll call this one NPM World. Happy with those options. I'll open it up a little bit more. And then the last option you see there is I want to include packages from the core repository, npm.js.org. If I leave that turned off, then every package we consume is going to need to be stored within package management. Okay, I'll click Create to create the feed. Alrighty, so that's the same as what you've seen. What I'll do is, they've made that a little bit easier for us. So when I go ahead and say that I want to connect to that feed, this is the screen you've seen so far for NuGet, but let's go and choose NPM. Now when you choose NPM, you've got a few other things here that we need to do. And they do make this quite a bit easier for us to use. Okay, so I'm going to switch back here, and I've got a very simple application. It's just an application that's going to use both a private package as well as a published package all within the same application, just to show that capability and that that support. So what I'm going to start by doing is jumping over here. I'm going to grab that endpoint. I'm going to go and place that endpoint into my npmrc file. Both of them. Save that. Okay. So that simply points to the NPM world registry. Okay. So I've got that done. Now, what I want to be able to do is deal with authentication. So they've made a little class there, a little NPM package designed specifically to get that personal access token for us in the appropriate format. So if I go back to the web URL, it actually shows that here. So here's how we can go and install the little helper. Okay, so I'll switch over here, paste it. Actually, that won't matter where I do it. Okay, so we've installed that little helper package. I'll go ahead and say, back to here, copy that. Oops. Now, I've probably got cached credentials having logged on there already, so it probably won't challenge me. And it doesn't. So what would often happen there is if I hadn't logged on to VSTS recently, that's going to pop up and ask for my credentials. It's going to grab the access token for me, and it's going to store that access token securely on my local machine. It doesn't get checked in, so other developers won't be able to use that. So that just makes security just a lot easier for us, and it's quite nice that they give us the package in order to be able to do that. Okay? So I've got a simple package here, MS Ignite colors, and I'm going to go in there and let's create it. I'll accept all the defaults here. Let's be offshore. Is that correct? Yes. And then I'll go and publish that to our feed. Okay, so we've just gone and published that NPM package. If I switch back over here now, close that, refresh that. With any luck, we should be able to see. Okay, so msignite.colors or /colors is now sitting in our private repository. I can also go and promote it. So release views are supported for NPM feeds, and I can unpublish and deprecate. These are both things defined by NPM. So a subtle difference between that and NuGet. So the package is there ready to go, and it's also telling me how I can go and install this particular package. I can grab that. Okay, I'll switch back over here. And let's go and consume this. So I'll switch back to there, into NPM demo. Okay. So the application, much like the previous application I showed you, is a super simple little application. Okay, so let's open up a browser. Choose to type better than that. Okay, so what we see there is just some very, very simple text. What I'm going to use is I'm going to use a public package, which is Crayola Colors, and I'm going to change Express so that it simply gets its color from the Crayola public package. And then underneath Welcome to Express, I'll go and choose to show the colors from MS Ignite Colors. Okay, so again, very, very simple there. The key thing here to realize is that we're getting those from two disparate package or repositories, as you would call them in NPM. So I'll switch back over here, having seen that. Okay, Control C out of there. Yes. And we'll do an NPM install S. And I'll say Crayola colors. I think my typing's good there. No. That's kind of a significant typo. Okay, and then from the local repository, I want to go and install MS Ignite. Okay, so both public and private. I'll need to make one subtle little change. So let's switch over here. It's one of my routes. This one. Okay, so I'll take out the comments. So again, we're requiring both the public and private feed packages. And I'll take out that little comment here as well. Save that. And we'll do a quick refresh. Okay, and that's exactly what we've seen there. So consuming both a private feed for MS Ignite Colors and also the public feed for NuGet. So, you know, full NuGet support and capabilities available there. As I said to you earlier, we are seeing them working on support for Maven right now, and they haven't publicly announced yet what they're going to be working on next. So if you've got a preference, you can always go and upvote for whatever you're looking at. So what I've shown you there is a look at package management. To recap, package management's available in TFS 2017 when you upgrade, and also available in VSTS by simply installing that extension from the marketplace. I saw a spattering of hands that have used the marketplace, so make sure you take some time to go and have a little bit of a look there. It's always great going into the marketplace and having a look at the recently added components to see what sort of new integrations and capabilities exist for us. While package management's not new, and there are certainly some great tools out there, I like the nice tight integration, the ability for us to manage the entire lifecycle. I didn't demonstrate this, I just realized. I was going to go in there and simply show you unlisting a package if I wanted to do that, how I can deprecate an NPM package, how I can go and manage those things, and I should have done that. That was remiss of me. And I've also pointed out that we will see other package types arriving. Continue learning, so there's some opportunities there. Remember to fill in your evaluations. Don't forget Spark After Dark drone pilot pass by completing your evaluations. I think some people are jumping the gun. I noticed there were some drones flying out over the sea earlier this morning. Hopefully you'll get some winners in the room for that. You can contact me. I've got Twitter and email up there. I'll also be available down in the exhibition area, and I'm happy to take a few questions as you file out. So thanks very much for coming along. Hopefully you'll enjoy the rest of your Ignite. Thank you.